Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes see details.
This podcast contains graphic content and may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
True North True Crime is produced on the territories of the Coast Salish people.
So you don't meet someone like Autumn every day, you know, just super, she could find light in everything, you know. And watching old videos of us and looking at her old chat messages and just like the stuff she would say, it's just like, yeah, she just says what's on her mind, you know. She's somebody who just, she doesn't think about what she's going to say. She's just naturally funny. She's like, I feel like she could be a comedian, like, you know, she missed her calling, you know. She will bring good energy. She's nothing but good energy. I've never seen Autumn mad in my life. I've barely seen her sad, you know. And she's went through her tough times, so I have seen it. But on a day-to-day basis, she'll call you and she brightens up your day. She's that person.
On June 10th, 2023, 26-year-old Autumn Shaganash was hanging out with a male friend. The two had spent the previous night together at a bar, and later they returned to his place. In the morning hours of June 10th, Autumn was captured on CCTV footage with the same male walking on Ann Street in Barrie, Ontario, close to Sunnydale Park. The area was busy that day as there was a walk for ALS and an air show going on in the city of Barrie. The man Autumn was with that day claims to have lost Autumn in the chaos of the crowd, and she hasn't been seen or heard from since. It's now been 1 year and Autumn is still missing. Her family, friends, and community are desperately looking for answers and want to bring Autumn home. In this episode, we are covering the 2023 disappearance of Autumn Shaganash, and you are listening to True North True Crime.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to True North True Crime. Whether you're a longtime listener or brand new to our podcast, welcome and thanks for listening. For the case we are covering today, we were able to work with the members of Autumn's family to create this episode. We sat down and spoke at length with Autumn's sister Lily, as well as her cousin Kimberly. You will be hearing audio of the two of them throughout the episode, as we believe it's important to provide the family members with a platform where they can share their own story. As always, we invite our listeners to reach out to us at truenorthtruecrime@gmail.com with any cases that they would like to see us cover. We do prioritize cases that come to us directly from family or close contacts of a case, but we welcome suggestions from everyone. This episode was put together using publicly available news articles and, as mentioned, with the help of Autumn's family. With that, let's go ahead and get right into tonight's case. This case takes place in a couple of different communities, the first being the Constance Lake First Nations in Ontario, where Autumn Shaganash grew up. Constance Lake First Nation is an Ojibwe and Cree community located in northern Ontario. Their main reserve, Constance Lake 92, encompasses about 31 hectares and is situated near the town of Hearst. This First Nation has a rich history rooted in the Kenogami watershed, where their ancestors have lived and thrived for generations. They are a small nation with about 900 people living on reserve and another 900 living off reserve. Economically, Constance Lake First Nation is involved in various sectors, including forestry and mineral development. They have engaged in partnerships with companies like LeCour's Lumber Company to provide employment and business opportunities for their members. Additionally, they are part of the Ring of Fire region, a significant mineral-rich area in northern Ontario, which promises economic growth through mining activities. Traditionally, this nation has hunted, trapped, and fished along the river systems in the area and the connected lake system since time immemorial, according to the elders' accounts from the 1800s and early 1900s. Culturally, Constance Lake First Nation maintains strong ties to their traditional lands and practices. They emphasize the preservation of their language, traditions, and historical knowledge. The Constance Lake First Nations, like many other Indigenous communities in Canada, faces several systemic issues that impact the well-being of its residents. These issues include water quality, infrastructure, and housing and health concerns, and also addiction. Addiction and alcoholism are significant issues faced by the Constance Lake First Nation, reflecting broader challenges within many Indigenous communities in Canada. These issues are often intertwined with historical trauma, systemic inequities, and socioeconomic hardships. Despite these challenges, some communities are taking proactive steps to address addiction. Efforts include community-led initiatives, support groups, and collaborations with external organizations to provide education, prevention, and treatment programs. So after Autumn's sister Lily finished high school, she moved to Barrie, Ontario. Autumn would often come to stay with her sister for long periods of time as she felt that the lifestyle in Barrie offered her more stability than on the reserve at Constance Lake. For those unfamiliar, Barrie, Ontario is a city located to the northwest of Toronto. It's about a 9 to a 10 hour drive away from Constance Lake Reservation. Barrie is a vibrant city with just over 150,000 residents, and Barrie boasts a diverse economy driven by manufacturing, healthcare, and education, and of course the service industries. The city is home to the Georgian College and the Laurentian University campuses, offering a variety of post-secondary education opportunities. Known for its scenic waterfront along the Kempenfelt Bay, Barrie hosts numerous community events and festivals and provides ample recreational facilities. Residents enjoy a high quality of life there, with excellent schools, healthcare services, and a mix of urban amenities and natural beauty. And I think this is what makes Barrie an attractive place for families and outdoor enthusiasts alike. So now we have a bit of an understanding about the communities where Autumn Chaganash called home. Let's get to know more about Autumn.
Autumn Chaganash was born on September 19, 1996 in Hearst, Ontario. She has an older sister and a younger brother. She's described by loved ones as someone you don't meet every day. She's one of the funniest people they know and never failed to keep a smile on everyone's faces. Here's Autumn's sister, Lily, with more.
Hi, my name is Lily Moore. I am Autumn Chaganash's older sister. We were very close. She's my one and only sister. And we grew up in a reservation called Constance Lake First Nation. We did move from there at a young age, though. We had moved to Timmins, Ontario. And after I had finished high school there, I had moved to Barrie, Ontario, and Autumn did come along with me for about a year, and she went back north for a few months, and then she came back to stay with me because that she just felt there was a better lifestyle with me and my daughters. She was like a mom to her nieces. She loved them very much. She would care for them while I worked. Basically did everything a mom does.
We asked Lily and Kimberly to tell us about Autumn's early life, her childhood, and what the family dynamic was like. This was a difficult question to answer, and we didn't want to press too hard. But from our conversation, we were able to discern that Autumn did not have an easy childhood. It's no secret in this country that Indigenous youth are faced with a multitude of challenges such as poverty, mental illness, addiction, inadequate housing, lack of access to various resources, and a lower graduation rate compared to non-Indigenous youth. What was abundantly clear from our conversation with Autumn Chaganash's family members was that this generation of young Indigenous people are actively working to break the cycle that systemic racism and historic colonialism has perpetuated. Despite everything, Kimberly, Lily, and Autumn had each other and leaned on each other for support. Here's Kimberly with her experience with Autumn growing up and into more recent years.
I remember Autumn when she was very little. She's very shy, right, to people she doesn't know. she came off, she would come off. And sorry, I don't want to say, like, I keep catching like a lot of our family members, even myself, saying like talking as if she's not here anymore, right? And I don't like that. I like, you know, I'm just something to bring up. I'm trying to catch myself, like, I think she's still with us, you know, but I just catch myself saying, like, you know, it's been a long time since she's been, you know, talking with us. So, but Autumn is, she is a very spontaneous little girl, and she always brightens up everybody's day. You know, I moved away when I was up north. I moved away and we kind of lost touch for our teenagehood, right? So Autumn kind of grew up and we connected again. It was maybe a few years ago. We had started talking more. You know, she's like the glue that holds us together. You know, she's the one of the granddaughters who would call her grandma every single day. And, you know, she was everybody's favorite. She was my favorite. The heart she has, you know, you don't come across people like that every day, but she cares about her family. And it just goes to show what she did, you know, for her sister. You know, she went to her sister and she helped her with the, you know, her sister's a single mom, right? And she went there and she helped take care of her nieces. She has a heart of gold and she's very missed. You know, it's just tragic that, you know, it's been almost a year now that she hasn't been with us. You know, we don't know where she is. That's a big thing. And just to, like, every day, I feel like we're missing a big part. One thing about Autumn, she could be going through the worst time, you know, dealing with whatever it is, like her ex-boyfriend or like work or family, you know, things could be not going well, but she's always making me laugh. She's the funniest person. Like, I don't laugh that easy, right? But she can make you laugh like no other person. Like, she can just make you laugh about anything. Like, she's the funniest person I've ever come across. And I'm very happy that she is, you know, I got to grow up with her. But the things we've done, you know, Autumn, the things we've done together. Oh my God, the stories, like, I could tell you about, like, me and our three of us, me, Lily, and Autumn. It's something that I miss every day, you know.
Kimberly also shared with us more about how Autumn is a treasured family member, sort of the glue that kept everyone connected.
She made such an impact on my life. And even growing up, I didn't call my grandma as much as I would like to, right? And just seeing how she was, like, so close with my grandma. She would go there and sleep, you know, sleep over, always, like, push over grandma, like, sleeping beside her in the bed, you know, like, she was that granddaughter. She had her favorite auntie, you know, like, she was a favorite niece. And, you know, it's hard without her, you know, it's hard. And it's not fair that she's in the situation that she's in now, you know. It's one of the worst things think about every day.
Now, in Autumn's teenage years, she had her first boyfriend, and unfortunately, it wasn't a healthy relationship. Here's Lily with more on that period of Autumn's life.
During her teenage years, she didn't end up finishing school. That's when she got her first boyfriend. I think she was about 16. He wasn't a good guy. He was a good guy at first. And it just eventually went downhill. And she felt stuck. And she didn't want to leave that situation. She just fell in love with the wrong guy. And she ended up going, she had depression and anxiety. And she's kind of been on those meds for a few years, off and on since her teenage years. But she always, like, had a smile on her face, no matter what she was going through. I never saw my sister mad. Like, she was always happy. She became an auntie when she was young. She was about 16. She really loved her niece. She always called her my baby and always helped me. For the last 12 years, she's always been such a good auntie to her nieces. And those girls really looked up to her and, like, always missed her when she wasn't around. But she didn't end up going back to school.
Unfortunately, as a result of her traumatic relationship with her first boyfriend, Autumn began an unhealthy relationship with alcohol to cope. This seemed to escalate when Autumn was on her own, especially when she would go back north to the Constance Lake Reserve. Lily shared more with us about the impact Autumn's high school relationship had on her mental well-being.
I feel like that's where the addiction occurred, because before that, even though we didn't grow up in a perfect home, she was fine. Like, she was a good kid. She was a good girl. She didn't do any of that stuff. But yeah, from that relationship, I feel like that's where it started. And then that's why she liked coming to stay with me, because she kept away from that. But near the end, like in Barrie. So she came over in Timmins when I was living in Timmins at the time. She always came over because she was still living with my parents. She always came over. And then I had moved to Barrie about 4 or 5 years ago. And she liked being here with me. She did go out and hang with her friends like a couple times, but she would come home either the same night or the next morning. She didn't drive, so I always like drove her places, which I did not mind at all. But yeah, she did have an alcohol addiction, but she did like staying with me because it helped her keep away from that, as she's like busy with me and her nieces.
Autumn was working on achieving sobriety in the months before her disappearance. She was attending sessions at the Barrie Friendship Center, as well as attending AA meetings and even a program at College Boreal. She has aspirations of becoming a flight attendant and wanted to get her GED in order to begin pursuing that dream. Here's Kimberly.
I remember her teenage years. She had her first boyfriend, and he was not a good guy. I think that really made a big impact on Autumn, right? She would always talk about her ex, and that's trauma. And she didn't know how to heal the trauma, just like a lot of us, you know, going to therapy to help these things, right? But I know Autumn, I want people to hear this too, because I remember it's so sad thinking about this moment. So a week after Autumn went missing, before Autumn went missing, Autumn was doing AA counseling, and she was taking these programs at the Barrie Friendship Center, right? And these programs are to get back on, like, kind of like get back on like a good path. And she was going to these programs like moccasin makings, all these kind of like indigenous workshops, right? And 1 week after she went missing, a guy showed up at Lily's door, and all of our family were there, right? We answered the door, and he was wearing a red shirt. And the shirt was like an MMIW shirt. And I don't know, I was like so confused, right? And then turns out he was there to give Autumn her certificate for completing a program, for being sober, right? Or for doing that path. And it's like, and even him, he was like, I just spoke to her, you know, and like, you know, I wish she was there to receive. He brought like a bag and like these nice gifts, you know, for Autumn. And I think about that, right? And he's like, oh my God, like I'm here to give her this thing here. And I'm wearing MMIW like pin, and I'm here and she's missing. It's just horrible, like thinking about that moment, you know, like that was really bad, you know, like I think about that a lot, you know. I wish she was there to accept that, you know, because she was trying so hard and she was doing so good, you know. It's a struggle. It's a struggle to try to better yourself. And, you know, you guys know, like, because you guys like, have lived it, right? It's a struggle. And she was trying so hard and she was doing so good. And, you know, it's just a one time she had to go back out, you know, and she decided to go out, you know. She wasn't out for months. And then before she went missing, her boyfriend broke up with her and he cheated on her and was abusive with her. It was a really bad situation for her, you know, and it's not her fault that, you know, she ended up in a bad relationship. And, you know, it's not her fault that she was that upset, you know. She was really upset before she went missing. She was going through a lot. And I'll say that because it's true, right? Autumn was going through a lot before she went missing. And I wish I was there for her, you know, like she lived really far.
It's absolutely heartbreaking to hear that story of the man showing up to her home to give her certificate and congratulate her on completing a program, only to find out that she was missing. It's just, it was really a heavy moment in our interview. So let's get into the months leading up to when Autumn went missing. We wanted to know a little bit more about what her day-to-day was like and what was going on in her life.
She was in Barrie with me primarily. She was looking after her nieces while I work. Because I work a night shift full-time, 5 days a week. And she was always with my girls up until I got home in the morning around 8, 9 a.m. And then she'd have the girls ready for school and I'd go and drive them when I got home. And then she would just pretty much help me out at the time, the few months before she went missing.
So Autumn was also in a newish relationship with a man she met in Barrie. And according to Lily, this relationship was also unhealthy and may have involved infidelity and abuse.
She did have a boyfriend at the time. It was a short amount of time. It was about maybe 3 months, 4 months, maybe. He did come and see her a few times. I met him. He seemed like an okay guy. He was a quiet guy, but you know, I don't know him. That's just what he seemed like to me when I met him. There were things that happened during those 4 months with her and him that she didn't speak to anyone about. She did tell me one time that he was apparently talking to another girl, but there was nothing where she told me like he hit her or anything like that. Because I feel like as a big sister, I'm gonna like, you know, be straight up and honest and give advice and be like, oh, you don't need that guy, you know, like get rid of him. So I guess she was kind of like scared to tell me that he hit her because she knows my reaction to that kind of stuff. Like, she's my little sister. I care for her. Like, I don't want anyone to abuse her. I didn't find that part out until after she went missing. We had found a picture of her. She had like almost like a black eye, like scratch under her eye. We had found that after she went missing when we had like access to all her social media. So it wasn't a good time. I know she was trying to get off her antidepressant meds. She was seeing a doctor for it. She kept on like getting her dose lowered, and she was on the lowest dose at the time. But if she went like a couple days without it, she would start to feel like really depressed. And at the time she went missing, she didn't take her meds for a couple of days. And so I know she was going through a rough time, ended up hanging out with the wrong person. And I don't know for sure if this guy has anything to do with it, but just because he was the last person with her and we don't have any proof for anything besides the last footage of her walking with him. Like, that's all we have.
Kimberly wanted to tell us a little bit more about Autumn's overly trusting and maybe somewhat naive view of other people in her life, as well as give us some details on the new boyfriend and some of the odd occurrences that were going on within that relationship.
The big thing I want to mention is Autumn will trust anybody. She thinks everybody has a good heart and then no one is going to hurt her, right? So I know she would trust somebody, right? Like, I know she can, you know, just like anybody, blind dating, right? Or like meeting on a dating site, right? You go meet without actually knowing the person. So Autumn, she would trust somebody, you know, and fortunately her ex-boyfriend, you know, she'll trust that he's not going to hurt her, you know, and she'll give all of herself to somebody, you know. She's a loyal person. She'll think the most of you, you know. If you even like said something to her, she'll try to like make something positive out of it. She won't hold any grudges. She's very forgiving. So, you know, being that vulnerable and just wanting to be loved, you know, she wanted to be loved. You know, she loves her family so much and she wants friends and she wants to go do stuff. She wants to be young, right? She's young and she was, she had her whole life in front of her. You know, she wanted to go, she would tell me always like, oh, I want to go work here and I want to do this. You know, Autumn was an amazing artist. Like, some of her, she draws very, very well. And I kept telling her, I was like, you should be a tattoo artist. You should do this. And Autumn, one thing about Autumn is, she's very caring. So she takes care of her nieces. She's always like that one like cousin that always was babysitting. You know, she's always babysitting and she takes great care of children. She cares for elderly. Like she's just that like good-hearted person. You know, it was like she was doing so well and getting so, like, she was doing all the things she was planning to do. But at the same time, you know, depression was like on and off, which is like, that's how it is, right? On and off. So she'd be doing so good one week, so perfect. And I'm just like, you know, like thinking of the things she mentioned, you know, I can't wait to do this, or, you know, I'm doing this. She'd call me and say, hey, like, I just finished my class. And she'd be telling me about it. You know, she was excited for life, you know, but at the same time, you know, things happen, right? Her boyfriend did cheat on her, and her boyfriend is very, very strange too. Like, his mom was very involved with their life. His mom actually threatened Autumn before they went missing. She'd always be involved. So anytime they'd have a fight, his mom was way too involved, and it was very, very strange. And that's one thing that I've always looked at, is something was going on there. And there's a lot of messages that show weird things. And like, after she went missing, they were claiming that she was in Toronto and that they know someone who's seen her in Toronto. Like there's a lot of coincidences with that family, you know, and it's the way the mother was treating Autumn was really, really weird. And she would make these fake accounts. She would make fake Facebook accounts of her son and pretend it was him and talk to Autumn. I'm telling you, there was some weird stuff going on with that family.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
So just to clear up any confusion, Autumn had a high school ex-boyfriend who was not a good guy. That relationship ended. And then Autumn had met this new guy and had been dating him for a few months leading up to her disappearance. Essentially, Autumn was trying to break things off with this new boyfriend as she found out he had been cheating on her. And his mother became involved and started lying for her son, saying that he didn't cheat and that Autumn shouldn't break up with him. Now, allegedly, this mother resorted to making fake Facebook accounts with her son's name in order to talk to Autumn while impersonating her son. Now, Autumn had met this boyfriend about 4 months before she went missing and found out that he had been cheating on her when another man from Thunder Bay reached out to her over Facebook Messenger to tell her that her boyfriend was being unfaithful.
Let's get into the timeline of Autumn Shaganash's disappearance. In the evening hours of June 9th, 2023, Autumn left her sister Lily's home in the Allendale neighborhood of Barrie, Ontario. She was wearing a black hoodie, beige leggings, black Puma slide sandals, and was carrying a black and beige Juicy Couture purse. She was going to hang out with a man named Sean. For clarity, this man was not the man that Autumn had been dating on and off at the time, who was allegedly abusive. Sean was a friend. And her plan was to hang out with Sean for a while that night, but to eventually return home that same night. Throughout the evening, Autumn was reaching out to various people, seemingly looking for a way out of the situation she was in. Sometime around 11 p.m., she texted Lily to let her know that she would not, in fact, be home that night and would be home the following morning instead. The next morning, June 10th, 2023, between 9:30 and 9:45 a.m., Lily received a text message from Autumn asking to be picked up, but did not provide a location. 3 minutes later, when Lily tried to respond, her text message did not say delivered, so she tried to call Autumn. Her phone went directly to voicemail and appeared to be turned off. In the hours that followed, Autumn was observed making her way to the city waterfront to watch the Barrie Air Show with Sean, who was walking ahead of her. At the same time, an ALS fundraising walk was taking place in Sunnydale Park. Autumn was seen in the Kozlov Street area near Sunnydale Park and in the Sunnydale Road and Letitia Street area between 10 a.m. and noon. Police say they have video evidence of this. Now, according to Sean, at some point when they were walking and making their way towards the air show that day, he looked back in order to find Autumn, but she had vanished without any warning. Here's Kimberly with more on the events that happened on June 9th and June 10th, 2023.
It was really strange, right? Like, she had met this person for the first time. His name was Sean. And it was just a coincidence that she met him, right? She met him at the Barrie Friendship Center. And they exchanged numbers. I guess she had asked him maybe for a smoke. And then they exchanged numbers. And then about a week later, he is saying, which was really weird, he was saying that we contacted each other on Facebook and Messenger. Meanwhile, they didn't contact each other on Messenger at all. It was just, so there's little lies that I'm catching, you know, that I'm seeing. But so she went over, they met that night, and that was the footage that we had. They met at a gas station right near Lily's house, and they went to have a drink that night. They went to a little bar downtown Barrie. And then after that, they went to his place, and they were there all throughout the night. So she had been messaging about two people. She had been messaging two people. One of them was, she asked him to pick her up. She was actually planning to go see him all night long. They were messaging, and they from the looks of it, they never met up. But, you know, I don't know what happened. It was really like weird, like coincidence, right? So she had left the house that morning, but before she left the house, she was on the phone for 1 hour with somebody. And that Sean told us that, right? She was talking to somebody for 1 hour that morning, and the police can't find out who it was. Nobody could find out who that person was she was talking to. And that's like a big thing, right? Like, and I don't know why we can't find out. They keep saying reasons why. But that's the biggest thing for me, is she was talking to somebody and we don't know who it was. That's the kind of, like, that's really bizarre to me. They said it was because it was like an app call. So like a Snapchat or something. So when we look at the phone records, it shows phone number, her phone number to her phone number. So that's why. And it was an hour long. And Sean said that she was talking to somebody, asking them to pick her up. And so after that, apparently they went walking towards down. They were supposed to go to the air show, walking downtown. And he says they left at, I don't know, maybe 11 or 12. Meanwhile, we got footage of them leaving at 10 in the morning. So that's like an hour gap, right? That he's not sure what time they left, but they left at 10. So we caught them on footage walking. His story is that they were walking, and he was walking through a big crowd. It was the ALS walk that day. And he says that he turned around to look at some pair of jeans, and he turned around and she was gone. And that's the last time he's seen her. So it's kind of contradicting too, because the police didn't do their search until almost a month or two later. They did not go with Sean and say, show me exactly where you walked that morning. They did not do that for 2 months, almost a month. We did that the first day she went missing, but he didn't. I asked him, I said, take us the way you brought Autumn that morning. Is this the way you guys went? And this is where you lost her? And turns out he took us a completely different way that they actually went that morning. And his story was, he said, I can't remember. He said, we were supposed to go to my friend's house. We were supposed to go to my friend's house that morning, but I think we changed our minds. So we went this way instead. Like, he's claiming that he doesn't remember the way they walked that morning. He said, we either cut behind the school or we went down this street. I can't remember. So his story is not adding up. And I keep telling the police that, and they say their claims are that he's a good guy. That's what they say. This guy, he's not capable of doing that. He's a good guy. This guy has like multiple charges, and he's just recently got more after Autumn went missing. He just had a court date in March. So this guy is not a good guy.
So a couple of things to note from what Kimberly just shared. Autumn was in communication with a few people throughout that night and into the morning, looking to either meet up with people or get picked up from the location she was at. She was even on the phone with someone for over an hour on the morning of June 10th. However, due to the fact that this call was made through an app, it's been impossible to track down who exactly she was speaking to that morning. If you are that person and you're listening to this episode right now, we ask that you reach out to the Barrie Police Department. Now, there is footage of Autumn walking with Sean that morning. It's kind of strange footage. In the footage, they both appear to be carrying a pair of skis. Like, they've taken a pair of skis, or they have a pair of skis, and they've given one to each of them. Sean walks into the frame first, and he is carrying a bag, and he is also carrying one of these skis. So he walks through the frame, and then about 30 feet behind him, Autumn comes into the frame, and she is also carrying one of these skis and appears to be on her phone, like not doing a phone call, but like either texting or surfing or whatever. Now, at the same time, also seen in this footage is a black sedan, and this is driving sort of in the opposite direction that Autumn is walking. So it's coming towards her, and it's sort of across the street in the opposite lane from where she is on the sidewalk. Now, this driver is driving by with his window rolled down, or his or her window rolled down, and the driver may be looking at Autumn as they drive past. It's hard to say as the footage is fairly grainy. We will be posting this video footage on our Instagram at TNTCpod or on our Facebook page. You can just look for True North True Crime on Facebook for our listeners to have a look at. Now, if you recognize the black sedan, or if you believe you may have seen Autumn that day, and you have any information, no matter how small or how insignificant it may seem, we ask that you inform the Barrie Police Major Crimes Unit. You can reach them at 705-725-7025 at extension 2160. Okay, let's get back to the timeline. Now, it was Lily who reported her sister missing on Monday, June 12th, 2023.
I reported her missing. So she went out Friday night. She was texting me while she was out. She told me she was going to come home later that night. And she texted me around 11 p.m., said that she was going to stay out and she'll be home in the morning. So I said, okay, which she has done before, and she has always come home. And then Saturday morning, she went out June 9th, and then Saturday, June 10th, she texted me around 9:45 in the morning. She's like, Lily, can you come pick me up? And I was making breakfast for my kids at this time, and I didn't get the text message right away. I wasn't looking at my phone, and I had responded 3 minutes later. By the time I replied, my message doesn't deliver because we both have iPhones. My message didn't deliver. So I didn't think anything of it right away because all she said was, can you come pick me up? She didn't give an address or anything like that. And I guess she was just waiting for my response to tell me where she is. And the message didn't deliver. And so I didn't think anything of it. Later on, as the day went on, I was just wondering why maybe she went to sleep wherever she was, because she had been drinking, right? She didn't text me all of Saturday. Phone was off. I have, she was on my contract. I bought that phone for her. So I had access to like who she was calling and who she was texting on my Bell app. And there was nothing. So I knew the phone was like dead. So I reported her missing on June 12th. That's when I gave the report to the police. It went on from there.
The first searches for Autumn Shaganash happened in the immediate days after she went missing. However, these searches were done by Autumn's family and friends. The official searches, done by the police, weren't done until much later.
So Autumn went missing at Sunnydale Park. That's where her phone was last pinged, and that's where we know she last was. So Sunnydale Park is a really big wooded area where a lot of people walk. A lot of people walk their dogs. So Sunnydale had been searched by police, search teams and canines and drone footage, like the heat footage. And this was in August or September. And it was searched twice by those people. And we also, as family, and we had a few family and friends and just people who were willing to volunteer with us, searched the park. And there's some like homeless tents in that park. There people are just sleeping in the bush, and they do drugs too. So there's like needles around those areas. But a lot of us had searched as much as we could in that area. It is a very big area. And we didn't find anything. We were trying to find like a piece of clothing or her purse or like her. She had asthma. I forgot to mention that. She has really bad asthma her whole life. But yeah, we did about two searches. Was it, Kim? Yeah, we didn't only do Sunnydale Park. We did a lot of areas, but that's the only... Sunnydale is the only area that the police had searched.
Sunnydale Park was eventually searched multiple times using police drones and canine teams, but these efforts proved unsuccessful. Additionally, police conducted searches in downtown Toronto, which also yielded no positive results. Now, Sunnydale Park is roughly a one-hour walk from the lakeshore where Autumn and Sean would have been going to watch the air show. When the family asked Sean if he could recall the route that they had taken that day and to show them where they had walked, he provided a route that made little sense. The way he took the family would have been the long way to get to where they were going. And when Sean was asked by police why exactly they had gone that way, he told them that he didn't remember. Now, regarding the police investigation, it's clear that any missing person case presents numerous challenges. And unfortunately, time was not in their favor, as Autumn was reported missing on June 12th, 2 days after she initially disappeared on June 10th. Now, we want to emphasize to our listeners the importance of avoiding blame when discussing this case. Reporting someone missing is typically a last resort. People often consider every other possible scenario before concluding that someone is truly missing. So please be kind in the comments if you are online talking about this case. The other complication that jumps off the page is the various people that Autumn had been in contact with that night via her phone. She could have been planning on meeting up with one of those people or shared her location with somebody, which gives police and other investigators multiple avenues of inquiry which take time, resources, and effort to rule out. We asked Lily what's been going on in terms of the police investigation at this stage and what they've shared with the family.
So from when she went missing, they did interview the last guy she was with. About five times, they said. We also spoke to him ourselves, but it seems like his story to us and his story to the police don't add up from what the police had told me, how the interview went with him. They did interview him five times, but they don't think anything of him. They think he's too dumb to do something like this. We have gotten the $50,000 reward from the police. They tell me that they do get leads. The leads that they have gotten haven't been successful. And there are a couple people who call in for a lead and then call in and give a lead. And then when it's time to come to the police station for an interview, they don't show up or they don't call back. So it's kind of frustrating when these people do that.
And then another thing too is Sean, he brought Autumn somewhere that night before she went missing. They went to one of his friend's house. He said they were going to buy weed. And so Autumn met with somebody that night that the police didn't go find. I keep telling them, I was like, you need to talk to that person that she saw that night, that Sean brought her to that person. You need to find out who that is. And Sean won't tell us who it was. He refuses because it's his drug, is his dealer, right? He sells him weed, probably more than that. He refuses to tell the police, and the police aren't pushing to get the answer. They're just saying like he doesn't have to, he won't say who it was. And that we don't know who that person is either. Police are not trying to like pushing hard enough to go interview that person. You know, there's a lot of weird things with her cellular location that morning. It pinged in a certain location that was near the area that he brought Autumn that night. So there's a lot of like things that are like, I know the police say they turned over every stone, but it's so frustrating because I know they're not. And it doesn't take a genius to know that they messed up. Like Autumn is still missing because of them. And I'll say that fully. You know, I don't care if they're mad at me, like they have a bad relationship with me now, but I say it as it is and they messed up. That's the reason why we didn't find Autumn. They took a month to go look for her and They didn't do the proper procedure. They didn't do a walkthrough with Sean. They didn't do proper interviews with the people. So it's just really frustrating.
On June 21st, 2023, when asked if the case is being treated as an abduction or possibly linked to human trafficking, a police official responded, "There is no evidence that human trafficking is involved, but we are obviously going to look at every possible angle here. There has been no confirmation that she is being held against her will." Later that same month, on June 27th, 2023, police made a public plea for any surveillance footage or potential photographic or video evidence from people who were in the area that day during the ALS walk that took place on June 10th in Sunnydale Park. The months kept ticking by. Autumn's 27th birthday came and went. Her family continued to keep Autumn's name and her story out there while pleading for more information. On January 23, 2024, Autumn's family announced that they had hired a private investigator, Derwin Johnson of Toronto-based Present Truth Investigations. Then in February 2024, Barrie Police held a press conference where they announced a $50,000 reward for information that could lead to the location of Autumn Shaganash. During this presser, the police shared with the media that they have had numerous leads. Barrie Police announced on April 9th, 2024, that they had partnered with an advertising company to post signs on Barrie transit buses and billboards around the city. On May 30th, 2024, a private investigator revealed to Barrie Today that several witnesses had come forward and those leads have been forwarded to the Barrie Police, though the police have not disclosed the results of their investigations or the credibility of those leads. On June 9th, 2024, Lily mentioned to Barrie Today that they are pursuing a lead involving a black car, which is that black sedan that was seen in the Sunnydale area, which matches the description of a vehicle spotted in that surveillance footage. Again, you can view that footage on our social media platforms.
So as of mid-June 2024, the time of the recording of this particular episode, it seems that the investigation and search for Autumn Shaganash has reached an impasse. The $50,000 reward for information, bus advertisements featuring Autumn's face, billboards around Barrie, and renewed calls for tips indicate that the police have exhausted all initial avenues of inquiry and are now seeking new leads or more detailed information about previously vetted suspects. We wanted to know what Kimberly and Lily's theories were in regards to what happened to Autumn that day. So here's Kimberly.
So what my theory is that she was on the phone with someone that morning, and I have a couple of people that I know like might have been who it is. You know, like we can only do so much. Like we got to rely on the police to go interview these people and get their alibis. But I know for a fact that they have not got alibis from some of these people, and they're just saying that they're a good guy. They had their story checked out, but their story was not checked out. I know for a fact. Anyways, so my theory is that she called somebody that morning and she got picked up by somebody because she was like, she did not want to be around. She wanted to go home. She called Lily that morning. She asked to get picked up. She wanted to leave that situation. So I believe that somebody picked her up. And I think she's so trusting that she thought that this person would like drive her home or, you know, take her where she wanted to go. And I think that was a big mistake. You know, I think that person took her. And I think they know that it was kind of covered because of the Snapchat call, right? Maybe they know that, you know, things like that don't get tracked and Snapchat deletes messages and deletes calls, right? So there's a big mystery there. You know, who was the caller? Who was that person? Nobody knows.
A few other things of note before we move into more of Kimberly and Lily's thoughts or theories and even the rumors that they've heard. The first thing being that Autumn had severe asthma and needed an inhaler accessible at all times. It's unknown if she had her inhaler with her at the time of her disappearance, but she did have her purse with her, so it's likely she would carry her medication with her. Secondly, a few years prior to Autumn's disappearance, she did have a period of psychosis in 2019 that was brought on from smoking marijuana, and that landed her in the hospital for a few months. This experience was traumatic for Autumn, and she did suffer from depression afterwards as well. We asked Kimberly and Lily about any theories or rumors that they've heard regarding Autumn's disappearance, and here's what they had to say.
I don't know anybody in Barrie, right? So I haven't heard any rumors. I mean, people from the community, they don't really know what was going on. Like, cause it was all the way in Barrie, right? And I didn't know anybody there. And I don't think Autumn knew too many people there, but her friend, I was talking to one of her friends, and she thinks that, she also thinks that she met up with somebody that morning. She was on the phone with somebody and she met up with somebody. Nobody knows who it is, but there's a few ideas of who it might be. So that's one of the things I think happened. A big one was that it was the person that she was last with, and he's not a good person, and that he brought her somewhere and something happened where, you know, because Autumn did have anxiety and she had panic attacks, and, you know, she could die from that kind of, like, it was that bad. Like, her asthma was that bad. If she didn't have her puffer, she could die. So, like, there's like things that people think, like, you know, maybe an accident or, you know, something happened, you know. There's a lot of things like that people were thinking of. But other than that, I haven't heard much gossip or like theories.
I haven't heard anything since I live here. I've never heard anything. Because people don't know much, and they know what's just on, because we've been doing news reports. So that's just what they know. And Autumn's asthma was really bad ever since she was a baby. And she depended on the inhaler, the blue puffer. And without that, like, she could, like, just have a panic attack and die. It was so bad. Like when we would be laughing, or like, she'll just be laughing hard, and after that she'd need like two or three puffs of her blue inhaler. So whatever happened, I think that maybe she got picked up, and maybe this person like did something to her, and she was scared, panic attack, and maybe something happened, or he did something to her. Maybe, I don't know. It's just hard to think at this point, because she's been gone for so long, and you have no choice but to think like death, you know?
So there was that incident where Autumn had psychosis after smoking marijuana, and we wanted to get a little bit more clarity on what exactly happened at that time.
Yes, she did. That's when she was in Long Lac area with my parents. She was hospitalized after that happened, and she didn't know what happened. And she had, so the cops were called when that happened, but the charges were dropped for that because of all her doctor notes and everything. But yeah, she did go into psychosis, and she was hospitalized for about 2 or 3 months. And ever since that, that's when her depression got so bad. And she's been like depending on antidepressants really since then.
You know what's really scary though is so the night before Autumn went missing, she messaged one of her friends saying, "I feel like my psychosis is coming back." And when I told her dad about that, her dad, like, he just went white. Like, her dad got so scared, and he's like, he could not stop thinking about it. Like, cause he experienced when that happened with her, right? So that's like another thing that we were really worried about, is like, cause if you go into psychosis, you don't know who you are. And being in a big city like that, you can end up in Toronto and no one can ever recognize you or see you. You know, that's how big that city is, and that's how hidden you can be, you know. Especially with psychosis, you can't come out of it once you're like, unless you have help, right? You could be stuck in for months and months, and I've seen that. But that's one big, big thing too, is she was not very well before it happened, you know, before she went missing.
In our research for this case, before we got to sit down with Kimberly and Lily, we could already discern that this family was deeply impacted by Autumn's disappearance. They have been working tirelessly organizing searches, raising money for their reward, and to pay a private investigator, looking for surveillance footage that could aid them in their search for Autumn, as well as talking to the media, trying to get Autumn's face and story out to a wider audience. There's only so much reading a news article can convey, so we really wanted to provide space for Lily and Kimberly to share how this experience has impacted them and the other members of their family.
the biggest thing is, you know, a big part was like taken from you, and it's like your sister. It's like I try to get people to kind of figure, like, think of like how this impacted us. You know, can you just imagine your own daughter going missing, or your own granddaughter going missing, like someone you've raised, your blood, and your own sister going missing? Like, it's just like the worst thing that can happen to somebody. It's like, it's not like somebody passing away and, you know what happened. Like, this is something where like Autumn could be somewhere and, you know, she could be waiting to be found right now. You know, it's like, it's very hard on the mind because it's like thinking like, am I doing enough? Like, what if I did this? Like, would we have found her? You know, what if she's still out there? Like, what if I, you know, trying to think about what happened, because she could still be found, right? Like, we still could find the answer, even if she did, like, something happened or not. So it's just very, like, mentally, it's like mentally draining. You know, you think about it all the time. You know, it affected my work a lot. Like, you know, we all had to take time off work, our whole family. It was like almost like a death happened, but not really. It's like going to a funeral for a whole year straight, you know, and trying to figure out what happened. It psychologically messes you up, you know, and you have to like really mentally take care of yourself. And like, as bad as it is, you have to try to like forget about it just even for an hour to like be able to like do your job or to be able to like just take care of yourself. And same thing with my grandma. I noticed my grandma lost like weight, and my grandma was like not taking care of herself like she used to. You know, she was going into depression. My grandmother, somebody who like that was her favorite granddaughter. You know, everybody has a favorite granddaughter. And can you imagine getting calls every day from your granddaughter, and just all this one day it just stops? My grandma thinks about Autumn every single day, every minute of the day. You know, she never stops because my grandma just is at home, right? She's not like me or Lily working and busy. She's at home thinking about her granddaughter every minute of the day. And like the stress that it, like, you know, and my grandma will call me and I could just hear it in her voice. Like, she's like, I'm thinking of Autumn right now. I'm looking at her pictures and like even her mom is like, I can't even talk about like her mom, the way her mom is like, she just wants to do so much, but she can't, right? She's got a lot of things holding her back right now, unfortunately. And I'm only her cousin and I'm feeling like this way, right? But I can't imagine like her grandma, her sister, her nieces. Like, her nieces were like, what happened to Auntie? Like, so they started asking, right? They had a dream of her one night, and they never asked what happened to her before, right? They would always say like, where's Auntie? When is she coming back? And then one morning, the little one came up to her mom and said, what happened to Auntie? I had a dream of her last night. And like, it's like so hard on the kids, man. It's so hard on like we need to find out what happened. Like, it's just the worst thing, like heartbreaking, you know. I can't imagine these people 20 years not finding, and I can't even like fathom like not knowing the answer in a year from now, or like 2 months from now, 2 days from now. It takes over your life, and you don't wish this on anybody. It takes over your life. It really does. My poor grandma, like, what if she, like, you know, that's the last thing that she's going to ever think about before she, you know, she's getting older. And if we don't find her, you know, she's not going to see her granddaughter again. Oh, there's some bad people out there. And I'm just telling everybody, you know, keep your loved ones close. Make sure someone has something to access, you know, like your messenger, or like, don't keep everything to yourself. You know, like, I think a big thing, if Autumn had her location on and like stuff like that, or like her sister had her password and like we got in quicker, maybe things would be different, right? Like, make sure you have location on. Those air tags are real. Like, kids are going missing, girls are going missing, and there's bad people out there. Don't trust everybody, even if you think they are. That's the one thing I tell all my friends now. My nieces and nephews all have air tags, you know, like, take care of your family, and like, if they're going through a hard time, make sure you're there for them, because it may be the last time that you get to be there for them.
It's really hard not knowing, you know, not knowing what happened, not knowing where she is. It is really mentally draining. But I gotta try to be positive and happy for my girls. So I'm just doing that. I think of my sister every day. You know, we do what we can, but there's only so much we can do with my schedule and my girls. It's it is really tiring as a single mom working a full-time job, a night shift job. So I barely get any sleep. But yeah, it has been really hard on me and my family. I really feel bad for my grandma. Like, she is so sad. Every time I talk to her, she just has this ball in her throat, like she wants to cry every time. But I try to give her positive words and try to make her happy. She loves when I call her. And it's also been really hard on my mom. She, almost every single phone call with my mom, she's crying. So that's really hard on me, because like I know she's hurt, but at the same time, I don't want to hear my mom crying every time I talk to her, you know. I don't see my mom, really. She lives far away. I don't really have any family in Barrie, so I'm just constantly working, trying to keep busy.
As our longtime listeners know, we always like to ask the family that we are working with for ways our listeners can help or get involved after they finish listening. The family has a Facebook group our listeners can join called Find Autumn Shaganash, as well as a GoFundMe. Any money donated to their GoFundMe will be used to pay private investigators for billboards and postering efforts. We will have both the Facebook group as well as the GoFundMe linked in the show notes of this episode. Here's Kimberly and Lily with more on how you can help.
So we do have a page for just to like get information out. And if you guys do see anything or know anything and you don't want to talk to the police, you know, message one of us on the page, because I will respond and I will take your lead seriously and pass it on to the right people. And a lot of people are scared to talk to the police, especially if they're in that world, right? Like, you know, any little thing can help. But so we do have a GoFundMe page that goes to our private investigator. So any work they do, you know, that really helps, because we cannot do it without the community, you know, like we've had so much help. But just keep an eye out, like share her poster, and like some, even if you're not in a city that we're near, we don't know where she is. She could be anywhere in Canada, anywhere, not even just in Canada, right? Because if this really is what we think it is, and which would be human trafficking, if it really is that, she could be anywhere right now. She could be in Vancouver. She could be in Winnipeg. She could be in Thunder Bay. So just keep an eye out. And if you do want to share posters and hang posters, that's the biggest thing, is getting her face out there. Either if it's on just sharing on Facebook or like hanging her poster up in your community, that's like a big, big thing, you know. Share it at your friendship center, like share her story, you know, like people help us look for her. That's the biggest thing that people could help with right now, is, you know, just remember Autumn.
I feel like I really appreciate every share that is on Facebook or just anything you can do to, you know, spread the word and like have her face everywhere. And like him said, like the posters and everything, and hanging posters in the city, though, like it only stays up for so long because the city takes them down. But we do have some businesses here in Barrie that have the poster like on, like in their window, so it doesn't get damaged from rain and stuff. So like that really helps. So, you know, if anyone can like do that wherever you are, that would really help. Also, my Facebook, Lily Moore, I always post whatever update I have.
Two things that Autumn's family really want to focus on in the investigation at this stage are who was the friend or alleged drug dealer that Sean took Autumn to meet up with in the hours leading up to her disappearance. Sean is refusing to share this man's identity with the family, the police, and refusing to speak with the private investigator that Autumn's family is working with entirely. Secondly, who was Autumn speaking with on the phone on the morning of June 10th before she disappeared? Does Sean truly have no idea who this person was or what their conversation may have been about? Was he not in earshot for the entire hour that Autumn was on the phone that morning? Is there no helpful information he is harboring at this stage that could assist the family and law enforcement to garner new leads in the search for Autumn? We believe Sean knows more than he shared. That is our opinion, not fact. It's time for those with information to come forward, to clear their conscience and help a grieving family to get the answers to the questions that are keeping them up at night. We know that Autumn was going through a difficult time in the weeks leading up to her disappearance, and that she had mentioned to a friend that she felt as though her psychosis was acting up again. So it's definitely a possibility that Autumn is out there and in active psychosis and unable to recall who she is. This is why it's so important to share her story, her photo, and ensure that there are Canadians on the lookout for Autumn across the country. A full year has now gone by with no answers to Autumn's whereabouts. The family feels no closer to finding out what happened on June 10th, 2023. We ask our listeners to join the Facebook group Find Autumn Shaganash to show the family that they aren't alone in their search and to offer them some positivity. If you're able to donate to their GoFundMe, that would obviously be helpful for the family to continue their work with a private investigator. Share Autumn's missing poster and share this episode far and wide. We know that Autumn can be found and brought back to her family. That's all we have for this episode of True North True Crime. We'd like to end by extending a heartfelt thank you to both Kimberly and Lily for sitting down with us to help put this episode together and sharing Autumn's story with our listeners. Thank you all so much for listening. We will see you again soon with a brand new episode. Until then, stay safe, everyone.
Stay safe.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.